Thank you. Good day, friends. And will you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, this amazing chapter that has to do with the parables of the king, or giving to us the course of this present age. What is going to happen on the earth during the time the king is absent from his kingdom? Again, may I remind you that we're dealing with the book of Matthew. And between the resurrection of Christ and his return to the earth, what is God's program on the earth? And we have here the history of what I may call Christendom, wherever his name is known. I'm well aware that there are those who believe that this is entirely Jewish and that this will be carried on into the tribulation period. Well and good. But I want to get some practical lessons to you and to me today. As we take up these wonderful, wonderful parables which our Lord gives to us, and he takes common things of every day to bring to us a spiritual lesson. Now, it might be well for me to suggest here, in trying to interpret a parable, as a rule, a parable is given to us to teach just one main thing. If you try to make the parables all go down on detail, right down to the last thing, you're going to have problem. As a rule, a parable is given to us to teach one main truth. Now, let's look at these first. The first three parables, you remember we were saying, has to do with the outward development of the kingdom of God in the earth. And then you have the next three, the inward development, or, as I said in our last lesson, changing the whole thing, the sower of the seed and the wheat and the tares gives to us the commencement of this age. The mustard tree and the leaven deal with the external and internal progress of evil in the age. And then the treasure and the pearl deals with two distinct companies separate from the world. And might I add, separate from each other. And then the dragnet is the end of the age. Now let me take up the first parable, and let may the Lord open our eyes to some truth for us today. I read from Matthew 13, starting in at verse 3. And Jesus spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowl came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other seed fell unto good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now we're not left in any doubt as to the interpretation of this. So you turn to verse 18 of the same chapter, and we have our Lord's own interpretation of it. Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and with anon with joy receiveth. Yet hath he no root in himself, but endureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he which he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Now here we have the parable of the sower and the seed. This is the first one. You will notice in reading the parable, our Lord said, When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then he gives you three aspects of those who heard the word but did not understand it. I want you to mark that. And notice also that one quarter of the seed takes root. Not all the world is going to be converted, but here we have the character and results of service now. First of all, here's one. The seed was sown by the wayside. And I read, the wicked one comes and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. And you know, the wayside is where people walk and the ground is hard. And this, I believe, has reference to the fact of a heart that is hardened to the gospel of Christ. In other words, they don't want to hear it. And I might say that's true today in giving one's testimony concerning our wonderful Savior and of how he came to seek and to save the lost. We've had people say, "Man, I'd rather not hear about it. I would rather not hear about it." Some are very hardened, some are very hostile, and most of them are quite indifferent. Not only are they indifferent, but they're satisfied to be indifferent. So that when the Word of God comes to them, I read that the seed has no chance to get into the heart, but the fowl of the air come and snatch away the seed. And here you have the hindrance of the devil. The fowl of the air, speaking of the action of the devil who takes away or hinders the Word of God getting into your heart. And might I add in this connection, there are so many people today who tell you, "Why, I've heard that thing all my life, but I've got no interest in it. I've heard about the fact that Christ died for sinners, and I went to Sunday school when I was a kiddie, and as soon as I was able to object to it, I left Sunday school, and I've got no use for the church, and I've got no use for your Bible, got no use for your gospel." And they're totally indifferent. In fact, sometimes they're very hostile to the gospel of Christ. Now, you can expect that today. And this parable of our Lord is informing us that a man went forth to sow seed. The seed was good seed, but it didn't have a good ground in which to go. Hence, there was no fruitage. And the devil came along, or the fowls of the air came along, and snatched up the seed. And this is the man where the seed was sown by the wayside. The hindrance of the devil to people receiving the gospel of Christ. Now, this is a very common experience. And if I'm talking to you, my friend, and you're discouraged, because in talking to people about their need of a Savior and the wonderful Savior that we have for men and women, and they're totally indifferent, cold and indifferent. You know, sometimes I have felt I'd rather have a person being hostile to it and go right after me because I'm giving them the gospel, than to have that kind of a sneer on their face and be totally shrugged their shoulders, indifferent, and say possibly, "Well, that's what you believe. Go ahead. You believe what you want to, and I'll believe what I want to. Just you leave me alone." This is what you have, the seed that is sown by the wayside. There's no fruitage. Now, the second one is the seed was sown in stony places. And I read in verse 20, "He that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and rejoices in it. But there's no root in himself, and it doesn't stay very long. For when tribulation or persecution or opposition ariseth against the word of God, by and by he is offended." Now, if the first man was hindered by the devil, that is, if the word of God was hindered from getting into his heart by the action of the devil, the stony ground is where the heart is hindered, the truth is hindered by the world. Emotional. There's no separation. Tests and trials, and even though for a while he seems to be enjoying the word of God, but the moment there's opposition or persecution or tribulation, because of the word of God, he's very offended. And that's the end of him. There's no fruitage. It's not genuine. He's heard the word of God. He's had it, possibly, he's had an emotional experience. You know, I must say this, that even today in meetings, there are people who hear the word of God, they have an emotional experience, and a week afterwards, you wonder where they are. They have no desire for the word of God, they've got no desire for Christ, no desire for the people of Christ. And soon, the moment they're opposed, to draw within themselves, and off they go. Go back to their old life. This is where the seed of God has not entered into their hearts and produced fruit. It's been choked out. See? Opposition. Indifference of men to it. The third one. The seed was sown among the thorns, and you have this in verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, if the first two were hinted, one by the devil and the other one by the world, this third one is hinted by the flesh. Things come in, cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, how many have heard the word of God and tell you it's true. I believe that gospel is true. But the moment they turn from the word of God and they face the world again, that's as far as they'll go. The pull of riches, the cares of this life, the popularity of the world, the desires of the flesh, and what have you. All these things come in and choke out the word of God, so there's no real work of grace done in their hearts. And by the way, in all these three, whether it be the stony ground, or whether it be the wayside, or whether it be among the thorns, you'll notice there's no fruitage. They've had experiences, possibly, but the cares of this life, the cares of this life come in, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the experiences of the flesh, and the desires of the flesh come in and say, well, if I have to give these things up to become a Christian, I'm through. My friend, we don't ask you to give things up to become a Christian. I tell you, when you become a Christian, get new life, you needn't worry about these things. And I could sit here and talk to you about dear people, young people in this city of Portland, who were not asked to give anything up, but the moment they became a real, genuine Christian and trusted the Lord, their whole lives were changed. Nobody had to tell them what to do. The Spirit of God in them. There was new life. There was a new purpose. There was a new aspiration. And when the world came along with its allurements, and when the flesh came along with its desires, and the opposition of hell came, they still stood, because the life of Christ was in them. Now there's another one here called good ground. Verse 23 is the fourth one. And he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Now notice, we never see the fruit in all its fullness. And some Christians are very discouraged and disheartened because when they give their testimony and they don't see fruitage like they would like to see, they begin to stop witnessing. They say, well, I guess I don't have the gift. You begin to rationalize these things. Listen, my friend, if you really are trusting the Savior and He's come right down into your life, you're really putting your trust in Him, and you can say, I know He's my Savior. You see, this is understanding. I know He's my Savior. I know He's put away my sins. I know He's a living Savior. I know He's on the throne. I know He's coming back again. And I know I have a responsibility to bear testimony of my Savior to my friends. And even though you may not see too much fruit, my friend, nevertheless, keep on in the Word of God. Now, this fruitage can be manifest in a number of ways. For example, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit shall be love, joy, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, self-control, and so on. The fruit of the Spirit. When you and I walk with God and there's a real life in Christ, you know, you don't have to fight about it. Spirit of God will work in your life something that you've never had before. A real work of grace. However, it also could mean going out and winning souls. And I've spoken to this point. Don't be discouraged if you don't get 100% every time you give out the word of God. I heard a man one time say that 99% of those to whom he talked, they accepted the Savior. Well, I'm not saying he's a liar. I am not saying he's untrue. I don't think that's the experience of anybody I know, that 99% of the people to whom you talk concerning our Savior and their responsibility of accepting the Savior, that 99% accept the Savior. But you notice it's 100-fold, 60-fold, 40-fold. You know, one time I read a little article put out by the electric company in the selling of their freezers, and they had 10 rules for their salesman to follow. And I was very much very curious as I read these 10 rules, and I wish I had them before me. But I remember two or three that stuck out very, very forcefully in mind when it said, for every 10 contacts you make, you may have 3 possibilities of a sale. And out of the 3 possibilities of a sale, you may only get one sale. That's good average. 10 contacts with 3 possibilities, only one sale. See, that's an average. That's a good average. You know, most of us, when we witness to a couple of people and we get a poor response or we get opposition, we quit talking about the Savior. We kind of pull ourselves into our shells. Listen, friend, can't we learn our lesson from the world? Another one of those rules was, use your users. That stuck with me, too. In other words, if you sell one of these cold boxes and they enjoy it and they're thrilled with it, tell them to speak to their friends about it. He's looking for more sales. Use your users and tell people how the commodity is a real joy to you so that this other fella can really make more sales. How wise the world is, and how, shall I say, they've got so much stick-to-itiveness if they're going to make a sale. You can't be discouraged because you don't make sales every time. Likewise, in this question of soul winning, in witnessing for the Savior, don't get discouraged. Only 1/4 of the seed entered good ground, and only 1 part of the seed brought forth 100-fold. Some 60, some 40-fold, some 30-fold. But listen, just keep on giving out the word of God. Keep on talking about your Savior. And in your own heart, remember, the more you take into your heart, the more footage you have. The more the seed of the Word of God has a place in your life, the more fruitage you have for the Savior. The Spirit of God then is able to take you and me and use us as channels to produce that which will bring glory and honor to our wonderful Savior. Now, I just trust you'll take this into your own heart today. And at every opportunity you may have to give forth the Word of life and every opportunity of walking with the Lord so that the fruit of the Spirit will be evidenced in your life continually. Remember, there's got to be growth. Every Christian is not a mature Christian. There are babes in Christ. There are those who are young men in Christ. There are those who are mature in Christ. But there must be growth. And you can't grow apart from the Word of God. And you can't grow apart from walking with Him. And the footage of that will be, you'll bear testimony for Him. Now the Lord wonderfully bless you today and fill your heart with all joy and peace in believing.